Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. We had a slight time delay because I had an astrology conference this weekend that was absolutely fabulous. If you're ever in New York in that weekend before Thanksgiving, it's a great conference hosted by the NCGR New York City chapter to support the education and creation of good astrologers. So kind of ran around a lot and got home after the jump time for the show and realized I'd, of course, forgotten to reschedule it. So I apologize for those of you who tuned in early and didn't find it. And thank you to those of you who checked back and found it now. At any rate, this is the weekly weather for the week of November 21st through November 27th. So we have Thanksgiving this week. And I'm sitting here on my big green couch with my feet up away from the whistle-blowing crazy people of the, as opposed to the bright red desk. Yes, you heard me say it differently. We have a green couch and a red desk, and it does look a little like Christmas in here on a good day. But this is Thanksgiving week, and we have a bunch of stuff going on this week. So it's actually a very exciting week. And, of course, we're going to be hanging out with our relatives when we have eclipses and we have a Mercury station. So we can, and we have two planets out of bounds. And we also have something happen that hasn't happened for 2,160 years, okay? We're at the culmination of 2,160 years. So we are about to have a major, major shift in the heavens as well as here on Earth. so we'll talk about that. The shift happens actually in 8 days, but we're at the last degrees right now. So I'm going to start with that, and then we'll go into the week. So there's a thing called precession of the equinoxes. And what happens is signs go backwards through the zodiac, and we move forward. We move backwards, actually, through the zodiac. But from our perspective on Earth, it appears that the signs are shifting. So what happens this week is the fixed star Regulus leaves Leo, where he has been for 2,160 years, and he goes into Virgo. Okay. Now, we have seen this over in the last couple of years in terms of the culture, meaning the civilians, the people who live and work, the workers, the Virgo people, have been jumping up and down and saying, enough of this king stuff. You're being a mean king. We don't like you. And we do know we had that whole sea change of planets that happened last year, the five outer planets changing signs. Well, this week, for the first time in 2,160 years, the fixed star Regulus, which is the king star, changes from being in the sign of kings to being in the sign of the people, into the sign of Virgo. and right now it's 29:59, so it's at that very last anaretic degree, and then it shifts. And when it shifts, you know, we're going to have a different vision of what the king is. The king is each individual person in their own environment, in their own home. You're the king of your work. You're the king of what you create. You're the king of your labor. And we're leaving the constellation Regulus, the heart of the lion, is moving from the lion into the sign of Virgo, the sign of the workers. So I think this is going to be really monumental as an energy shift. And we've been feeling it. You know, we've been seeing the workers jumping up and down and yelling. We've been seeing, you're not the king of me, you're not the boss of me. Are you a good king or a bad king? If the king is doing things badly, we are protesting. We have the Occupy Wall Street people. We have the Tea Party people who technically are kind of like the Occupy Wall Street because they're like, I don't want to give you my money. I'm going to keep it. You're not getting it. And it's kind of tied to the confidence in the governments. You know, how well do you believe the government takes care of you? And lately there's been a number of things, you know, saying Congress is immune to insider trading acts, Congress gets pensions, Congress gets this, you know, pass the laws that they have to live under ours. I've been getting a lot of those emails. Now, I've been getting them for a while, but lately I've been getting them from everybody. And for all of us, we're going to have this, as Regulus shifts, as what our vision of leadership shifts from Leo, you're the king of me, you're somehow special and creative, to you're part of the group, you're part of the community, and you have to do your work. As that shift happens, we start a new 2,160-year cycle. Now, the reason I keep coming up with that number is it takes the sign, it moves a degree a year, okay? Meaning 1 degree every 72 years, not a degree a year. Every 72 years, the zodiac moves backwards. So the precession of the stars as they shift in the heavens, it's now, Regulus is now fully out of Leo and into Virgo. So he has a whole new vision. and he is now officially a Virgo, going to be this week. So we can expect a sea change, a really huge sea change. The last time this happened was 72 times 30 degrees that many years ago, 2,160 years. None of us were born. It was actually right before Christ came on Earth. So we're at this big turning point about what is leadership, what is work, what is the value of human, what is service. And you're going to find a lot of people are going to be focusing on that. They're going to be using words like sea change. They're going to be using, because remember, when we hit Virgo, we hit Pisces too. The Pisces axis is triggered. You know, what's the value? And it'll probably cause an uptick in spirituality, should probably do something here on Earth. I'm not quite sure what the lion changing into Virgo will do, but we should have some king leaving, I would think, or the leadership change of something. And we did have a couple leaders step down in Italy and Greece. And here in New York, we had a drumming circle around Mayor Bloomberg's mansion on Sunday, which I had to miss because I was working at the conference. But I was there in spirit. And our, you know, our idea of what leaders are is shifting. You know, part of what has been, you know, at least from the people I know with, you know, grumbling about Barack Obama, we're used to chest-pounding, roaring, thumping leadership. And we're not having that right now. You know, nobody's chest-pumping and thumping, and nothing's getting accomplished. So Virgo is all about working and creating and working in harmony. And interestingly, this shift takes place around the same time that the draconian budget cuts are due to go in place from the federal government due to the compromise that they worked out in October or in August of last year on budget. So now we're, you know, because they weren't able to come to agreement, we're now going to have draconian budget cuts to just get enforced to make that bill pass, and lots of them that are going to be pretty nasty. So it'll be very interesting to see how people respond to this as the stuff comes out. So watch for that. That's happening now. So we know whenever a planet's at the very last degree, we usually have an exaltation or an example of it. So Leo, King in Leo, Leo is the king. So there and as it shifts into Virgo, it should be, nope, not the king anymore. So we're going to see some shifts besides, I think, Berlusconi and whoever, because they're not, I mean, for the Italians and the Greek people, they're important. But for the rest of us, we kind of go, oh, okay, yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how that shift takes place. And we're shifting to a more measured form, a more balanced form, a more hardworking form. That as the worker, you are the king, you know, and what is working. Now, again, we're starting a 2,160-year cycle, so it's also, you know, like the first minutes of it. So don't expect mass change, but do watch for the symbols in the culture, because we should have them. We also are having an eclipse at about that same degree. There's an eclipse at 2 degrees of Sag, so it's going to be triggering Regulus, boom, pop, and that is on Friday. Eclipses wake up things. They help us see things. They propel us forward. They encourage us to evolve and grow. They often take away something that we don't need anymore, even though we might think we need it. Or they help us see that we don't really need something anymore, and we have this kind of breakthrough, and we get it, and we go, wow, I don't really want that anymore. Thank you very much. If that's the cost. And a lot of times eclipses are the situation was there for a while, but you didn't see it, or you didn't see it with the eyes that you see it with under the eclipse. So the eclipse is in Sagittarius. So it's going to be revelatory, meaning you're going to be inspired to take action to change because it's a mutable sign. Mutable signs change. Sagittarius is light. It's going to illuminate it. It's going to help you see it. It's going to say, you know what? I'm going to change my life. I'm going to go pursue my dream. This is my new dream. The old dream was good. It was a nice dream. I liked it. But now I have a new dream. I'm going to go for that. And then we go forward and into the light and into the vision and into the creative and into the idea. And Sagittarius, of course, is the horseman, and it often involves long trips. So if you have a long trip planned for this weekend with the eclipse in Sagittarius, you may go there and say, you know, I could live here. This could be a good place. I could stay here. Or you may find you are sitting at Thanksgiving and someone says something to you that's very enlightening because the eclipse is in the morning as we're going to sleep after Thanksgiving dinner. Someone said something very enlightening to you at Thanksgiving dinner and you went, you know, I think maybe I should do that. That could possibly be my new path. So kind of pay attention, because on the day before the eclipse, we have Mercury stationing to go retrograde. Now, what that means, of course, is Wednesday the 23rd can be a little bollocked up with travel because it's the day before Mercury station, and Friday the 25th can be a little screwy. But Mercury stopped, and he stopped at the degree of, he's dropped to 20 Sag. So he's also illuminating everything you have in your plant, in your chart at 20. Now, Mercury right now is out of bounds, as is Venus, interestingly. And now remember, out-of-bounds planets are good, bad, or indifferent, but they're never neutral. An out-of-bounds baseball is a foul ball, hits the people on the head in the stands, and they jump and run and try and catch it, or it's a home run, and it's great and it's fabulous. So we have two of the personal planets, Mercury and Venus, out-of-bounds this weekend, as the eclipse comes, as the Mercury stations. So when we have out-of-bounds planets, we often tend to make outsized decisions. We tend to make, oh my God, I have to do this, I must. We get inspired. We get like a little, almost a little crazy, you know, truth be told, because we have so much to do, we have so much to accomplish, and we're so inspired and we don't know quite how to get it all done. Now, the good part is Mars is in Virgo, and he forms a grand trine this week with Pluto. Last week he was talking to Jupiter. But he's in Virgo for the next 9 months, okay? So we're going to be working with that really productive energy. Now, it does show up, Mars in Virgo does show up as fighting with your authorities. And at the astrology conference I was at this weekend, there were some people fighting with who they perceived to be the authorities, fighting with the speakers. There was a lot of little sub-dramas of who was in charge and who wasn't. And it's always fun, you know, as I was leaving, my friend said to me, "It's like the old days." I said, "I know, that's why I'm leaving." Because I thought, you know, I used to get into that drama, and now I like, oh, yeah, drama, I'm out of here, bye-bye, and I left. But, yeah, Mars in Virgo is, if you're an authority and you are working with someone who is having some authority-challenging issues, they're going to pick a fight with you. Or they're going to take umbrage at what you said, meaning they're going to say, you're going to say something totally harmless, and they're going to get mad. And you're going to be like, what are you mad at me for? What did you hear me say? And in other cases, they're in the mood to pick a fight with the authorities. So, you know, that's – and now remember, we all have authorities. We all are perceived as authorities by other people. So you can switch this role. In 1 minute, you can be the supplicant. In the next minute, you can be the authority, depending on who you're interacting with. So if you have that kind of dynamic start up, remember Saturn's in Gemini, which is the let's sit down and have a side-by-side conversation. He's in the Gemini decant, didn't mean Gemini, he's in the Gemini decant of Libra, which is let's have a conversation about it, let's discuss it rationally, let's talk. You know, no, what's the right word for it? No picking, you know, just observation, communication, all important. So we're going to have that back-and-forth dialogue, right? And then we're not coming from a parent-child or a teacher-student or whatever. We're talking communication-wise. We're talking let's connect and relate. So that's your way of handling the Mars in Virgo when it gets a little feisty. Now, at the conference I was at, one of the speakers said, "You want to take it outside? You want to go outside? I'll take it outside with you." And that's also an option. You know, if you want to hit somebody, this is a good week to do it. But I would suggest that really what the point of this energy is to get you conscious and to get you to understand how you still have that want to punch the authority energy in you. And that's okay. Just own it. Own it, own it. And say, yep, that is my part of the story. And then your part of the story is this. Now, you may not be able to have the dialogue with the person you're in the argument with, but walk back and say, okay, why did I do that again? So in my case, I'm submitting something and I'm a little anxious about it. It's, you know, it's a proposal. It's like, do you want me? Will you take me? I always get anxious about that. It's like a job interview. And I showed it to someone and they kind of went, well, you know, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong. And I really just kind of deflated me, right? So I kind of thought, all right, I've been deflated. Ew, now I have to rebuild myself because I opened it up. I said that, and I asked. I mean, I did ask. I got the feedback. It wasn't always pleasant, but I got it. But I also went, okay, but I know that. I know that about my dynamic with this person. I know that about my dynamic in general. And I know I get, you know, like on my little Pisces moon, my feelings get hurt. But if I'm asking for honest feedback, I should take it, right? So understand it's kind of a mixed, weird thing. So when you get that little Mars in Virgo, because what Mars in Virgo wants is he really wants to improve it. He wants to make it better. So he solicits, he does one of two things. He either goes, I know how to do this all by myself and I don't need any help. Get out of my way. Or he says, well, let's try working on this together. Now, depending on the kind of person you are, you might want to do it by yourself and you might want to do it together. But either way, you're going to be feeling like, gee, I have to do something with this. I have to try this in a different way than I've done it before. And I have to come up with a new way of doing it just in case, because if I don't, I may have a problem, right? Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of a weird energy. Remember, Mars wants to take action and he wants to fight, but he's in the sign of Virgo, which means he wants to improve. He wants to do better than he thinks he can. And maybe he thinks he's better than he is. You know, maybe he's like, you know, he's getting up at bat, but he's not, you know, he's not going to hit it out of the ballpark. He's just going to hit a line drive. It's not a home run. You know, so when my friend said to me, well, you know, you only have one opportunity and you better do it good or you're going to be in big trouble. That's it. This is your one opportunity. Realistically, it's not my one opportunity. Many opportunities when I sit and get calm. But when I bite into that fear, which is what Mars in Virgo also does, it makes you think you're not good enough, that you're never going to be good enough, that it's never going to work out right. And you have to just say, it's Mars in Virgo. You have to do it again. You have to do it maybe 7 times, 8 times. How do you get better? How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Same energy. Mars and Virgo. Practice, practice, practice. Don't judge. Do the process. Once you've done the process, look at it. See how it feels. And then do it again. Right? So I sat the other day. I have to submit a video, which I hate how I look on camera. So I've been avoiding and not doing. Right? But I know I need to do this. So I practiced. I'm like, okay, let's practice talking. Practice through video. Then practice. Okay, now I'm at practice not moving my head because I move my head when I talk, which is very disturbing when you're looking at a video, so I do that. Then I'm going to practice open the ephemeris and show the numbers. It's kind of stupid, but I need an audiovisual aid. You know, practice that. You know, it's like, you know, it's practice, and it really is. This is Mars and Virgo. Practice, practice, practice. No perfection. Anybody criticizes you, realize they think they're helping, and they might be. You know, could be valid criticism, could be my only shot, could be I never get there again. But you know what? I'm not dead yet. I can take other shots other places. So it's also not showing up because you're afraid. It's like saying, no, I'm going to show up. I'm going to do it. I'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go so good, I'll do it again. It's okay. Life's a journey. Life's a learning. Mars in Virgo is all about learning, all about process. So that's the big focus for that part. And the next thing we have is, in addition to Mercury stationing going retrograde and the eclipse, we have two planets changing signs this week. So the Sun goes into Sagittarius, of course, makes it much lighter. It's not going to be nearly as intense as it is today, because today it's in the last degree of Scorpio, and everybody's feeling very sensitive. It's making you feel like out of control, like you want to burst into crying or tears. Tomorrow it goes into Sag. At 11 o'clock in the morning, okay? So everybody will feel much happier tomorrow at 11 because we're not going to be in the intensity of Sagittarius, like, oh, my God, you know, how am I going to do that? You know, that whole kind of craziness that happens when we're at the back degree of Scorpio. We're at 29 Scorpio right now. Everybody's cranky. So just think about what you have in your chart at 29 Scorpio. It's or at 29 of anything, it's getting squared by it, trined by it, but it's the last degree of Scorpio, which is I want to die. I really don't want to create. I want to die. And I feel like I'm dying. And I'm not. You're not dying. It's just that last degree of Scorpio. And so just kind of say I'm not dying. I'm just in the process of creating, okay? But I'm not really sure what I'm creating yet because it's still in the damn cocoon. But I am working on creation. The other energy that shifts this week is Venus goes into Capricorn on Saturday. Now, she's been in Sagittarius. She is out of bounds, so she's a little over the top. She's not behaving necessarily in her best mode because she's highly excitable when she's in Sagittarius, and she also has a huge pile of things that she wants to get through. Once she gets into Capricorn, she calms right down, and she settles down and gets a little happier, and she, of course, is then going to be able to swap places with Saturn because he's in Libra, and they're going to be in what's called mutual reception. So Venus and Saturn are suddenly going to be the best of friends, whereas right now Venus is in Sagittarius, and while she can change place with Jupiter and Taurus, when she changes place with Jupiter and Taurus, she gets even crazier, right? So we want, when she shifts on Saturday, she's going to be in a much better mood, too, because she's out of bounds and over-controlled now, too. So it's why a lot of women, in particular, because Venus is out of bounds, are feeling like overdone, overwhelmed, overwrought. It's Sagittarius. It's like, okay, no worries. Again, she's at the last degrees. She's making conversations with the people at the last degrees, which means Neptune, right? Makes you feel like you're going to cry. You know, talking to Saturn makes you feel like it's never going to work out. It's understanding that Venus, when she's out of bounds, also has a heightened degree of desire. She wants to get things done. But in Sagittarius, there's too much. And with Mercury out of bounds in Sagittarius, Mercury doesn't like being in Sag because it's too much to keep track of, too much information, too much data, too much responsibility, too much. And he's out of bounds on top of it, you know, meaning he's not following the rules he normally follows. He's doing things weird. He's doing things out of order. These are things we don't normally do. And it's like, oh, man, then everything takes longer when it's not the way you normally do it, right? So you just have to go. That's the kind of week we have. Nothing wrong with it. Now, the other thing we have is we're coming out of the Sun square Neptune, right? So yesterday, Saturday, Sunday, we were maybe with the Sun square Neptune immersed in music or creativity or fun and having a good time. And there was a part of us that was really a little melancholy because this, again, is the last time the Sun is going to square Neptune in Aquarius for the next 164 years because Neptune is leaving Aquarius and he is going into Pisces. So there was a melancholy over the weekend as the Sun squared Neptune and the Sun kind of watched it. And in my case, there were people who I hadn't seen in ages and ages reappeared at the conference. So that was good to see them, but at the same time, I didn't have a chance to talk. I didn't have a chance to connect, but I went, oh, wow, good to see you. And so there's an energy here around needing to connect, needing to reconnect. And that's a really important thing to kind of pay attention to, okay? Because that Sun square Neptune makes you want to connect on a deeper level, and we're all kind of yearning for something a little deeper than what we have. And that's okay. The yearning then leads us to help us go find it. So this week, the moon is in Libra on Monday and Tuesday with a nice closing aspect of a trine to Neptune. And we have that transition from the Sun into the last degree of Scorpio where it's intense and miserable and cranky because it's like everything's dying and there's not enough time. And oh, my God, and it's very psychological. So when you're feeling really cranky and irritable, talk about it. You know, get it out of your body because Scorpio tends to be silent and suffers. Say it. I'm really feeling pissed off or whatever you're feeling. You don't have to tell the person you're pissed off at, but say it out loud. So then you can comfort yourself. Remember, because Mercury's in Sag, he's going to say, oh, I understand you're pissed off. It's okay. No worries. And tomorrow, once the Sun goes into Sag, we're going to feel so much better. Because this last degree of Scorpio is a really hard degree. So the Sun goes into Sag, and then the Moon trines Neptune. So that's very positive and perky and fun and interesting. Then the Moon is in Scorpio on the evening of the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. It goes void at 6:05 on the 24th, which is Thursday, with a square to Neptune. Again, Neptune's at that last degree, right? So all these planets are coming by to say goodbye to Neptune, right? And they're saying, bye, Neptune. I know I really love you, but, you know, I have to leave. I have to go. So there's a lot of sadness energy in the sky right now, too. On Wednesday, we have two really interesting aspects. We have the Sun trine Uranus, which once it goes into Sag, first thing it does is trine Uranus. So Wednesday is really fun. Very creative, a lot of interesting ideas and things happening, kind of pay attention. And, of course, Mercury is stationing the next day, so it can be a little bit of delay with travel. So give yourself extra time to get to the airport. Give yourself extra time to do everything, because there are going to be unavoidable delays. Plan on unavoidable delays on Wednesday. Or get yourself there extra early because the cab will break down or whatever. You know, it's kind of one of those, not good to have a travel day when the Mercury stopped in the sky, out of bounds, not behaving well. But, you know, that's what's happening. So accommodate, bring a couple of books, you know, bring some food in your suitcase so you can eat. Bring a change of panties in case your underwear gets, your luggage gets lost. Mars trines Pluto that day. Too, which is very much about kind of conquer and power. So we have that grand trine forming. Now, last week, Mars was working with Jupiter. This week, it's trining Pluto. So there's a grand trine in the sky. Mars in Virgo, Pluto in Taurus, Capricorn, Pluto in Capricorn, and Jupiter in Taurus. So this week, on Wednesday, the grand trine finishes. Now, it's going to come back because Mars is in Virgo. So he's retrograding. But right now, there's a really productive energy for getting stuff out the door and in the world. On the 24th, we already talked about Mercury stationing retrograde. We also have Venus sextiling Neptune for the last time when she's in Sagittarius. This is going to be the last time Venus has an opportunity to sextile Neptune in Aquarius. So we have a big love. That's a big love day. We should have a great Thanksgiving. It should be a lot of fun. Perhaps people get a little buzzed because there's a lot of Neptune aspects, but Neptune also is highly creative, so it can be great fun, and it can be really full of interesting things. And then at 10 o'clock at night, we have the moon trine Uranus, because the moon has now gone into Sagittarius like the sun did on Wednesday. So expect unexpected emotional things to happen, which I always love unexpected emotional things happening. Then we have the sun and the moon joining for the eclipse at 2 degrees Sag, also in trine to the universe. So this solar eclipse is trine to Uranus. It is going to bring unexpected, unforeseen changes into our lives that we're all going to get to work with over the next 6 months and possibly for the next 19 years. Okay? Think back to 1992, what was going on for you then? You're repeating that story 19 years later, okay? It's an evolutionary change. Eclipses want to propel us forward into the next chapter of our life. So what they do is they highlight with a strobe light, or they highlight with a flashing light by changing the light, changing the way we see things. There's almost like a revelatory energy to them. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. This eclipse is not a bad one. It's got actually very nice energy to it. But it does involve Uranus. So we can expect unexpected changes as a result of this eclipse, meaning we're going to go, oh, my God, I never thought I would X, Y, Z, but I realized over the weekend I always wanted to. So give yourself permission to be open to what shows up this weekend, because the ideas are going to be really interesting and the offers are going to be really interesting. And I would encourage you to say yes if it's an offer that in any way, shape, or form you think you might want to try. Give yourself permission, say yes, give yourself permission, go do it. Next up, Venus into Capricorn on Saturday. And then, of course, when she goes into Capricorn, the first thing she does is she squares Uranus. So after we've had the fun part of her sextiling Neptune on the 24th, now she gets all nervous on Saturday because she's still out of bounds. And then the moon, of course, is in Capricorn, and it squares Uranus. Both of them do it on Saturday night. So if you have an emotional reaction Saturday night, it's totally cool, because part of what you're supposed to be doing is reacting emotionally to what happened earlier in the week. It's a good thing. Venus in Capricorn wants to commit. Her square to Uranus says she's a little afraid, but she's in mutual reception with Saturn. So Saturn says, what were you doing in 1982? Give yourself permission. And then last but not least, Sunday, Venus trines Jupiter, so she enters into that lovely grand earth trine, and we have the lovely moon in Capricorn trining and joining with Pluto and Mars and Jupiter on the 27th. And of course, Advent begins. It's the beginning of Advent. We're starting the Christmas season, and Thanksgiving is over, and you're forward into the whole new life. The eclipses propel, so say yes, grab a hold, hang on to those stars that are flying by your head. And that's it. That's the weekly weather report for the week of November 21st to the 27th. So I will talk to you next week on Sunday, the 27th, back to our regular time. Again, apologies for the delay in broadcasting. But it was an astrology conference, you know, and you're having a party. You can't really leave for another party. So have a great week. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my big green couch as opposed to the bright red desk. But now you know my living room has a big green couch in it. Take care and have a very good Thanksgiving. Pay attention to the offers you get. Say yes to them. Even if you're not 100% sure, say yes, say yes, say yes. The energy is all about moving forward. Take care. Bye-bye.